this. I may have mentioned it before. Rod Lane has been able to secure a guest speaker for Wednesday night, July 24th. Al Nucioni, as best as we can pronounce it. He's originally from New Jersey, but he's pastor of the Baptist Church in Jerusalem. And he's visiting over here, and he's going to be at another local church on Sunday morning. And he's going to come and speak to us that Wednesday night. And we're going to probably give him an honorarium and maybe take up a love offering for that. Rod's working all of that out. I just wanted to give you a heads up on that, because I think that's a unique perspective we need to hear. And you'll be able to ask him questions and get some information of things you may be wondering about that I'm sure he would be knowledgeable on sharing with us. So I think that's a great opportunity on July 24th. Okay? I want you to open your Bibles if you have them. If not, we'll have the scripture up on the screen. Psalm 66, verses 16 through 20. Psalm 66, 16 through 20. And I want to talk to you about, we talked 2 weeks ago about the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer from the Sermon on the Mount. And then last week, we also went further into the Sermon on the Mount and talked about asking, seeking, and knocking, those three steps to have answered prayer. And I want to talk to you tonight about praying with a pure heart and how that really matters in terms of the effectiveness of your prayers, because you may be saying, well, I pray, but it doesn't seem like I'm getting through and nothing's happening. Well, I want to clear up some things that may help you to be more effective in your prayer life tonight. And so the psalmist says, come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. This sounds like a man whose prayers are being answered. He's crying out to God. God is listening. God is answering. But let me give you some scenarios. There once was a man who ignored his children and lacked respect for his wife. He focused the majority of his attention on his work. He prayed for success, for a higher paying job, for more prestige, for better working conditions, yet God seemed to ignore his plea. Let me give you another one. There once was a family who believed that what was God's was theirs. And they kept 100% of everything they earned for themselves. Yet they still couldn't make ends meet. They cried out to God for more money, but God refused to answer. There once was a teenager who prayed for acceptance by her peers. Yet despite her best efforts to please others by compromising her moral convictions, God wouldn't cooperate by granting her request. There's a common denominator in all three of those situations. And that common denominator is the absence of a pure heart. The absence of a pure heart. As we read in Psalm 66, 16 through 20, a man who had a pure heart and saw God respond to his prayers. but he explains why so many prayers are powerless before God. In verse 18, he says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. That means if my heart was impure, God wouldn't have heard me. And so what he's saying is there is a requirement for prayer that we come before the Lord with a pure heart if we expect God to listen and to respond. Now let's look at some situations that help us to get a handle on what we're talking about. What does it mean to have an impure heart? Well, one, it means that if your heart is not pure, it may be divided. You may have a divided heart. In Psalm 86, verse 11, listen to the psalmist. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. So there's a difference between an undivided heart and a divided heart. When you place your relationship with God on an equal level with anyone or anything else, you have a divided heart. And we have to fight that, because there are times in our lives that there are some things that rise up in our lives of importance equal to God, it seems like. And we give that thing or that person just as much attention as we give to God. It may be the urgency of the moment or whatever else, but if anything else is on an equal standing with God, we have a divided heart. Either God is everything or he is less than everything. And why should God grant our request when we relegate him to a standing equal to our jobs, our families, our health, our pleasure, our acceptance by others? If we say, God is here, but so is my job, so is my money, so is my prestige, that's a divided heart. God has to be here and everything else has to be down here. And when God knows that and we've proven that, we have an undivided heart and God will respond to our prayers. So maybe your prayers are not getting answered. Maybe it's because you have a heart that is divided by many different loyalties, of which God is just one. I once preached a sermon on God and family, and I used an illustration of God wanting to be in the center of our home, basically in the living room. He wants to be the heart of our home and our family, and our life. But for many people, God is over here in the bonus room. He's tacked on as an addition to our lives. God wants to be in the heart, not as an addition, not as somebody we go and get and call whenever it's necessary to get us out of a bind. So we either have a divided heart or we have a pure heart. That takes a toll on our prayer life when we have a divided heart. A second concern that affects our heart and keeps us from having a pure heart is not only that we may have a divided heart, but self may be our primary concern, what we want rather than what God wants. Look in James chapter 4. James chapter 4, beginning in verse 2. James chapter 4, verse 2. You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So, what James is saying here is that there are three wrongs that mess up our prayer life and keep our hearts impure. One is wrong desires, two is wrong motives, and three is wrong objectives. If you've been praying selfishly with the wrong desire or the wrong motive or the wrong objectives, you need to refocus your prayer life. Now, what is the right desire in our prayer life? It's intimacy with God. It's to draw near to God. What's the right motive? To glorify God's name by putting Him first. We said that's the reason we exist as a church, to make great the name of the Lord in this community. And the right objective that each of us should have is knowing and doing God's divine will. And so James is right. He says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. So sometimes our prayers aren't answered because our hearts are divided, and we've let other things rise to the same level as God. Sometimes we've let selfish desires rise above God and what God wants for us. And our desires and our motives and our objectives are very selfish. And I'm kind of glad God doesn't answer those prayers. Because if He did, we would mess our lives up big time. Sometimes our hearts are not pure because our relationships are not right. And there are three relationships, I think, that are important that affect our prayer life. One is our relationship with other people. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. If you fail to forgive or ask forgiveness, you're jeopardizing your prayer life. It's amazing how clear the Lord makes it. In fact, if we back up a little bit and we look in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. We're asking God to do something for us that we have already done for others. And what he's saying is, if we don't forgive, God's got a problem with us. It's going to affect our relationship with God, and in turn, it's going to affect our hearts, and it's going to affect our prayer life. Lack of forgiveness, harboring bitterness, affects your relationship with God and with other people. No doubt about it. We cannot have it both ways, asking God's forgiveness while refusing to forgive. Can't have it both ways. Another relationship that affects your prayer life is your relationship with your spouse. I think this is one that we often overlook. It's 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, to treat them with respect as a weaker partner and as heirs with you of the glorious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Do you know the way you treat your spouse affects your prayer life? Well, we're all in trouble, aren't we? Not only are we to forgive people who've offended us, we're to have a good, close, intimate relationship with our spouse. If we read on, it says, for whoever, in verse 10 through 12, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. When self gets in the way, relationships suffer. And what God is trying to tell us, our hearts are not pure as they should be. And when our hearts are not pure before God, our prayer life suffers. And finally, not only the relationship with others, relationship with your spouse, but your relationship with God makes a difference. So let's look at 2 Timothy 2, verses 19 through 21. 2 Timothy 2, 19. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, "The Lord knows those who are his." And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Your relationship with God is only as strong as the place of priority he has in your life. Is he first place? If he is, then you will have surrendered self, you would have swept out the sin, and you would have given him full reign over your entire being. Nobody, nothing equal to God. God is first. God is primary. God is priority. People sin against you. You sin against them. You ask forgiveness. You grant them forgiveness. In your relationships, you put God first, and you love the way God loves you to the people around you. And you make it clear to God and to everyone around you and to the world that your number one priority and the number one love of your life is God himself. Prayer is a powerful resource for all of us. But we have to have pure hearts in order to possess the power of prayer that can be ours. And sometimes we pray and we sense there's no power. We sense God is not near. His presence is distant from us. Where do we start looking? We look in our hearts. We see if our hearts are pure. And if they're not, we determine what caused that. We confess it. We clear it up. And we get right in our relationship with God. Then the power will come. Then the answers will come. Questions or comments? Praying with a pure heart. It's important. Sometimes we make prayer an afterthought rather than our first thought. And after we've put everything else first and we found out that we made a mess of things, we usually end up coming back to God, and we come back on our knees in brokenness with the bruises of our own selfish decisions, and we find that God is there, God is forgiving, and God will restore us, but we have to give Him priority. We have to put Him first, not last, in our lives. So, tonight, we're going to take a few minutes as we dismiss, because we've got a bunch of cards that we want to sign. And don't knock anybody down. There'll be plenty of time for everybody to get up here and sign. But if you would, sign all of these cards if you have time, if you can. And then we'll get them distributed tomorrow to these businesses. Okay? So let's have a prayer, and then we'll sign these cards. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Your Word is truth. Lord, we so often let little things get in the way, and we travel down a path that leads us farther away from You, and we sense self-importance, or we put selfish desires, or we have unconfessed sin, and all of those things get in the way. God, cleanse our hearts. Give us pure hearts. Be first in our lives, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.